Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT News team.
Good afternoon. This is KMXT's Talk of the Rock. I'm your host today, Dylan Samard. Joining me is Sarah of the Chamber of Commerce. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Always great to be here at KMXT.
So today we're going to talk about the, drum roll please, big fishery.
Let me see if I can pull it off. Everybody getting it?
Yep. So we're going to be talking today about the big fisheries debate for Saturday. Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big deal.
So tell me a little. So I know it's going to be online, of course.
Right.
So I know that the Chamber of Commerce has done a few online events. So could you tell me a little bit about how those went and what you're going to take from those and bring into the debate Saturday?
Of course, that's a really great question. So yeah, the Chamber is very familiar at this point in time with transitioning in-person events to virtual or semi-virtual events. As many in the community know, we started out with Crabfest this year, and that was a hybrid event with both in-person and virtual components. And typically, we have about 10,000 people that are joining us each year for Crab Festival, 10,000 in-person attendees. And so our goal was to try and reach as many of those people as we still could. So during the week of Crab Festival, again, those in-person booths were scattered throughout town, but we had daily streaming. And in that daily streaming, we did all sorts of things from activities. We did a really cute thing with Next Step Dance Studio where they taught the kids a new dance every day. So that was really fun. But we also had local musicians and artists displaying their crafts. We had the virtual art show that's typically an in-person event. We actually had 53,722 interactions with our Crab Festival stuff.
Wow.
So that was over three different platforms. It was over our website, YouTube, and Facebook. But instead of 10,000 attendees at Crabfest, we had 53,000, almost 54,000 attendees. And they're still coming in because that content is still available.
So I take it then that you're going to do a similar distribution with the debate.
So the debate's a little bit more of a fine-tuned event. So really what we did for the debate is we took a lot of lessons from Comfish. Comfish Alaska is typically an in-person trade show with in-person forums, educational opportunities. And so this year we couldn't do the in-person trade show like we normally do, which I'm here to tell you, fishing community, you have touched my heart. I absolutely realize the importance of us having an in-person trade show. I know that those purchases, those contracts that are made at Comfish, that's what helps bolster our economy. That's what prepares you for your fishing seasons, whether getting things fixed from previous seasons or preparing with just the right nets, the right pods, the right gear, engines, everything to get you ready for your upcoming season. So while we couldn't do that trade show this last year, we do hope to do it next year. More about that later. But Comfish is definitely a little bit more of a nuanced, audience. A little bit more of a nuanced audience. Crab Festival is all about the fun and the entertainment. Comfish is down to business. We're talking serious things here. And so what we did for Comfish was we did very specifically targeted ads. So we wanted to make sure that we reached our local fishing community here. For those of you at home who don't understand why I just paused, there's a super sweet boxer in here who keeps stealing my attention.
I failed to introduce our third guest, which is my dog Mater, who basically lives here at the station with me. He's currently curled up. Yeah, he's just on the floor next to Sarah, just sitting down.
He's so sweet. I feel like I made a new best friend. Okay, back to it. Distractions.
Right. So
we have that very specifically targeted audience for Comfish, and very similarly then for the Senate Fisheries debate. So what we did is we really looked at who does commercial fishing impact here. Obviously, we have our locals. We have coastal communities throughout the state of Alaska. We have plenty of people in Washington who have commercial fishing connections. Really, there's important information for the commercial fishing industry throughout the entire U.S. You know, we have a lot of coastline on the U.S. And off all that coastline, fisheries are impacted. So really, this debate that we're doing, we've taken data from Comfish. So with Comfish, we actually had... Let me see where I've written all my information here. Maybe I lost my page. Okay, so here from Comfish, we actually had, as of September 24th, 1,065 video views. So that is not just interactions in general. That is 1,065 people going specifically to our pages from our website, Facebook, or YouTube, and sitting and watching those videos. And so we know that we've got at least 1,065 people that are very interested in this debate, but we had 4,243 tune in some respect, whether it was to view the content on a different page, or to just in general look at what our topics were, see where they wanted to tune in, get that general information. So we used that data and were able to then target anyone who was able to tune in or show interest in Comfish and then expand that to the political avenues. And so that's really what we've done here for the Senate fisheries debate, which gets us all the way back to our drum roll, right?
Right. So where will people, if you want to hear, see, stream the debate, where can you do that?
Everywhere, pretty much.
Right. I should also say that KMXT will be streaming the debate, moderated by our very own Rhonda McBride.
That's exactly right.
And as well as the, I believe, the Chamber of Commerce website and...
That's right. So let me walk through it for everyone for that checklist. So a huge thanks again to KMXT, who is always helping us out with broadcasting all of these. You guys are a co-host with us. You're always helping keep everything fresh and interesting and viable. You're helping us reach people that we couldn't reach before. So a huge thank you to all of you here at KMXT. But we do also have the opportunity, if you would prefer not to listen, to actually watch the debate. And so typically we have this as an in-person thing, and we have huge crowds. We have a lot of interest in this fisheries-specific Senate debate here in Kodiak. And so we are expanding that to literally the entire U.S., I guess the world, if they really wanted to tune in. We're happy to have them all join us. So they're able to go to KodiakChamber.com and /live or just KodiakChamber.com. If you just want to keep it simple, go to KodiakChamber.com. We have this really easy to use tab and it just says watch live. That's all you've got to do to connect. But that's also going to be live streamed on our Facebook and YouTube channels for both the Chamber as well as Comfish. We have so many different ways. If you have any capacity to watch via Comfish, you watch it there. If you have tuned into any of our chamber events, tune in there. It's just so simple. You have all the options in the world. So if one piece of technology isn't being friendly to you, we've given you all the options.
Wonderful. So this will be the first time that the debate has been held online since they began in 1999, correct?
I sure hope that's correct.
So what will people see when they tune in?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So when they first tune in, again, they're just going to be doing it through the website or Facebook, YouTube, whatever it is. They're going to see both the candidates on the screen at all times, and they're going to see the moderator, Rhonda McBride. Thanks, Rhonda. We'll help you prep, get you the good webcam that does the makeup for you. So they'll see both the candidates as well as the moderator. And then very likely, I'm still working through some of our technology things, they will see probably a stoplight and a timer so that they can see and the candidates themselves can see how long they have left to speak, as well as, you know, how close they are. So if they really like the specific times, they can watch the clock. if they prefer just the simple audio visual. I'm getting little puppy kisses and I love it.
I think there's a little bit of laughing in the microphone, and that is my dog who has climbed on top of Sarah Phillips' chair here. Mater, down, please. Come here. He's too friendly. I apologize.
Oh, I love it. It keeps really serious topics a little bit more lighthearted.
Right.
So it's going to be very simple, very minimal, so that the candidates don't have a lot distracting them and the viewers don't have a lot distracting them. So two candidates, moderator, and a little screen showing the time that's left.
So I understand that there was while I know that you absolutely cannot speak as to what questions will be asked, I know there was a call for listener questions.
That's exactly right. So I want to thank everyone that was able to submit questions. I know that this is very impassioned. We got a lot of questions very specifically about fisheries topics, and sometimes it was topics, sometimes it was questions. We did every once in a while get a question or a topic that was not directly linked to fisheries. And the panel is working on that to decide if it's enough of a connection that we can talk about it in the debate, or if it's something better served for a different candidate forum later down the road.
So an interesting question that I had is that, so you could have a situation where you have a candidate who is talking about fishery issues, and they say something about healthcare. Fishermen, of course, get sick like everybody else, and would use the service of healthcare if they had access to it. So to that effect, are you going to be reining, or will the moderator be roping the reeling back in the candidates, to use a fish pun?
Yeah, that's right.
back into those topics, and to keep them outside of the sort of peripheral aspects of fishing, will it be that orthodox in its focus?
Sure. So it is a fisheries specific debate. So we are keeping things very fisheries related. This is why we have to rely on the experience of our moderator, like Rhonda McBride, who does have experience doing this sort of a thing. She is absolutely a pro at being able to reel people back in. And so if she does feel it's gotten out of line, or if she gets a note from myself or the other committee members that we're just too far off topic, absolutely, she'll be reeling them back in and be able to go from there.
Right. So getting the debate digital, could you tell me a little bit about the challenges of setting that up, both from your end and the end of the candidates?
Yeah, of course. Earlier off the air, we were talking about the quality of a broadcast. And so we know that there are certain things that make a good quality broadcast. That's going to be a non-wireless connection, so a direct plug-in to your internet, and a high-quality video and audio. So you may see the candidates wearing headphones so that they can hear, or have a sound system set up so that they do provide the very best quality of audio and audio and visual components. And
one of the sorry to interrupt, but
sure.
one of the big questions that I had is that one of the things that I learned recently regarding broadcast was the case of the debate between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon. And over the course of that debate, it was the first televised presidential debate in 1960, I believe, and the viewers who saw the debate, because it was broadcast
right.
on people's television sets, believed that Kennedy had won the debate, whereas the people who heard it over the radio believed Nixon had won the debate. And in part, this was just because Kennedy had a better performance and delivery for broadcast television, whereas mm-hmm. Nixon just had a stronger performance for radio. So to that effect, do you think that we're going to see some sort of bias to that end, but in regards to, you know, if one candidate is using a laptop webcam versus another candidate who might be using pretty high-end broadcast equipment?
Right, absolutely. That's really the choice of the candidate, as I feel very strongly that each of our candidates have a very specific campaign feel that they're going for. And so just like every other decision that they have to make in their campaign, this is a decision they have to make. How do they want to come across? It's so interesting to consider video versus audio platforms, I think that they obviously both have so much to contribute. I think a lot of times when we're focusing on audio, we're really focused on that audio, whereas we can kind of dive a little bit deeper and read into some of the things that we're hearing. Whereas with a video, we see the interactions of each of the candidates. So you can see if someone looks, you know, appalled by something that the other candidate says, and that speaks volumes to the viewers. And so you really get different things from each medium. I encourage, obviously, anyone to view or listen the way that they most prefer, whatever's most beneficial to them. But yeah, you know, video can definitely add some of those nuanced nonverbal behaviors that we don't get to see over audio. And that can impact, you know, the perception of who wins a debate.
So back to the setup of the debate to get things facilitated digitally. Are they just like Zooming in, or do you have something set up in particular?
Yeah, so we do use Zoom for the basis of all of our platforms. Zoom has some nice security features so that we know that we're not getting some extra people in. We'll be using password protections and waiting rooms. And that also helps us ensure that the candidates aren't receiving additional help from their aides within the chat function or things like that. So we do like the security of the Zoom platform, and we've found that it produces a pretty high quality video aesthetic. But we also use another program that allows us to stream to multiple devices at the same time. So Zoom is limiting in that you can only live broadcast on one platform. But if we use another platform as kind of the intermediary, we're able to push to all these different places at one time.
So another question that I had is that in very recent history, there's sort of been an event, so to speak.
I think I know what question's about to come.
So there was an event in which I will not go to too much detail, but people recently have had their confidence shaken in the traditional debate format. So say there's a situation in which one of the candidates attempts to sort of smother the speaking time of the other candidate, or just be belligerent to a degree that it would be difficult to get a word in.
Sure.
Do you have any sort of active countermeasure for something like that in the context
sure.
of this debate?
Let me first say that I have, and myself and the entire committee has the utmost confidence that Senator Sullivan and Dr. Al Gross are going to uphold the decorum of a debate. We have the utmost faith that they're going to be respectful of one another and ensure a high quality production in a debate that people are interested in and want to stay watching and listening. With that being said, yes, for those of you who have engaged in these online platforms, I think one of the most common things is someone saying, hey, can you unmute yourself? Or so that mute function is a pretty powerful tool, and we can utilize that if necessary.
So what one thing that I'm curious about is that, say, you know, the something a lot of people are beginning to say but still aren't comfortable with, the pandemic could draw out for another good like year and a half or even longer, possibly. What takeaways are you going to bring from this event and the two digital events that you've had beforehand, and say if we had perchance a second a year from now, or further on rather, for
sure.
another fisheries debate that were to be held all digital? What sort of changes or tweaks would you make relative to what you've already done in these digital events?
You know, it's tough to know what tweaks I would make to the debate before we know what works and doesn't work.
Right.
But I can tell you that I have so much confidence in the fact that we officially have templates now for virtual events. Crabfest was a very scary thing for us to go out and try to do, because there is not a template that says, hey, this is what you should do to make Crabfest a success when it's virtual. There was not a template for Comfish to see what success measures and metrics we would have to make it successful. And so we have learned a lot of things about the most appropriate times to broadcast things. We've learned a lot of things about, you know, how to work with the technology to the best of our abilities. You know, these virtual platforms are coming out with new features all the time. So I can say that I'll be reaching out to Zoom and saying, hey, if there's debates in the future, maybe you guys want to develop a metric that allows for, or a graphic that allows for a timer and a stoplight so that I don't have to manually sit there and people see my hand sticking out, changing things. So really what it comes down to is if things continue, we have a template, we have a platform, and things only get better the more that we do them. So give us the opportunity. We'll work through all of our kinks and things will continue to get better in the future.
So what time is the debate and how long will it be?
Well, that's a really great question, too. So I feel like we should mention it is this Saturday, October 10th. And again, we've talked about how they can view it. It's going to be at 5 p.m. and last until 6:30. So the candidates will be debating for a full hour and a half with moderator Rhonda McBride. I do have to put in a little plug here. This debate really would not have been possible without all of our sponsors and our partners. KMXT is one of our partners helping put this on. But we also have financial support from Alaska Whitefish Trawlers Association, At Sea Processors Association, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, both the city and the borough of Kodiak, the Fishing Vessel Owners Association, Groundfish Forum, Kodiak Saners Association, Koniag, Pacific Seafood Processors Association, and United Fishermen of Alaska.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot of people that care about this event.
Oh, yeah. What is it like for you to preside over this, which is really a one-of-its-kind event relative to the history of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce holding this?
Yeah. I can say that I'm pretty used to, at this point in time, historical events for the Chamber of Commerce. I'm so pleased that I have the opportunity to embrace the challenge. And I want to, again, say thank you to our entire community. You guys have gone on this journey with us. You guys have, you know, given us the suggestions, but also the support that we so greatly need. So a big thank you to everyone, because that's really what I want to express, is sincere gratitude.
So let's go into a little bit the history of this event. So
sure.
When did the... So the Chamber of Commerce began this in 1999, and could you tell me a little bit about the background of why this is such a important event in Alaska state politics?
Oh, absolutely. Kodiak is a fisheries town. This is the industry that we are built on. That is literally why the rest of our support systems exist here. Between the Coast Guard, the medical facility, the schools, we are here because the fishing community is here. So if we don't host these debates, if we don't show the expressed interest in the policies, we're not taking a stand for ourselves as Kodiak to remain a vibrant economy and support our fishing industry. And that's really what it comes down to. The chamber feels strongly about supporting our fishing industry, and education is one way to do that. I see debates as an educational opportunity to be informed voters.
Right. And evidently the whole state is concerned if the candidates are willing to give the time, not just to Kodiak, but to everybody involved in the fishing business in Alaska.
That's exactly it. Fishing industry in Alaska and beyond, the policies that our next senator is involved with impacts everyone throughout the U.S. You know, fishing industry is huge.
So, and it's, I believe that there's been 100% attendance, with the noted exception of present Governor Dunleavy, I believe.
That is correct, yes.
So it's not just for the Senate, right?
That's exactly right. We go from everywhere, from the Senate. You know, if the presidents ever wanted to debate fishery topics, you know, I'm sure we could have them on and we could debate that too. So we go from the very highest level all the way down to our local level here with the borough and the city.
So
we actually have the opportunity then. I forgot where Dylan was leading me here. I got distracted by the dog again. So, again, we have a seat open for our House of Representatives. We have Congressman Young vying for the position again as the incumbent against Elise Galvin. And so while we haven't been able to arrange a debate for them, we have had the opportunity to work to arrange a candidate statement. So there's no guarantee that we're going to have candidate statements from both of them in time, but we have offered the opportunity for both of them to give a 10-minute statement that's really, again, centered around fisheries, maritime, and mariculture issues, but opening it up a little bit more for them since they won't have the platform of a debate.
Okay, so what else should people know about the Alaska fisheries debate?
Well, I would like to put the shameless plug in there that, yes, the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce are the ones bringing this to
right.
you. I think that a lot of time it gets lost that the chamber does so many of the services throughout Kodiak, so many of the events that are important to our economy, you know, whether it be the Senate Fisheries Debate, Comfish Alaska, Crab Festival. We had Venture Through Vehicles for the first time last year and look forward to bringing that back next year. Community Cleanup Day is also hosted by the Chamber of Commerce. And we're here really for economic needs throughout the community. So I never want the community to forget that we're here for our businesses and they can reach out to us anytime, especially with this COVID crisis. Changes a lot of things for our community.
So actually, to that effect, I know that for events like Crab Fest, I believe, there were
yeah.
some in-person elements as
right.
well. So can you tell me a little bit about how you're sort of doing this, these mixed events that have like these online components? Because, of course, everything is online in the context of global pandemic.
Yeah.
And
It's very much happening on a on a wing and a prayer. I can tell you that everything that we do has multiple plans. So what the public doesn't see are plan A, B, C, and D, because we might be on plan Q. So we work really hard to establish what does an in-person event look like and what is the deadline to be able to have that. What does a hybrid event look like and what's the deadline to have that? And then what's a fully virtual event look like and how do we plan for that?
So for Crab Fest, I believe there
yeah.
was there was a parade of some variety. Is
yeah, very, very small. yeah, the parade, we were only given approval to have what is called a reverse parade where the participants are parked on the road and all of the spectators are the ones that drive past. Unfortunately, I don't know what happened with it, but we did not have a lot of participants alongside the road parked. We did have a ton of spectators drive past, but we absolutely appreciate all those organizations that came out. And, you know, we might be doing it again for another event. We'll see how so many things go, like Downtown Trick or Treat. We're planning that away right now, so we'll see
that,
what happens.
How's that going to work? Do you have any plans yet, or is it too preliminary at this point?
It's pretty preliminary. Naturally, you know that we've had a little bit of a spike in cases here that changes things. We
right.
are still planning to do downtown trick-or-treating, and with the blessing of the Emergency Operations Center, we hope to continue that. We'll see where they end up with that. But yes, keeping everyone's safety in mind is absolutely a first priority. But we're actually working here with people at KMXT to work on some other less exposed events with candy.
Okay. Well, this has been Sarah Phillips of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. I've been hosting today's Talk of the Rock. My name is Dylan Simard. Thank you, as always, for joining us this afternoon. And now back to our regular programming.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.